Ta-da!
At that time, Vrishadvaja,
Lord Shiva who rides on a bull,
Vesha,
envy,
Kalila Atma,
polluted heart. Polluted heart. I'm not sure you understand my pronunciation. Prajapati, King Daksha,
Shiva,
Lord Shiva,
Avalokat,
I seen him,
Abhavat,
became, Sharat, in the autumn. Radaha,
lake.
Eva,
like.
Ammalaha,
cleansed.
Okay. Translation, at that time, when Daksha saw Lord Shiva, who rides upon a bull, his heart, which was polluted by envy of Lord Shiva, was immediately cleansed. Just as the water in a lake is cleansed by autumn rains. You can repeat, at that time, when Daksha saw Lord Shiva,
who rides upon a bull,
his heart,
which was polluted
by envy of Lord Shiva,
was immediately cleansed.
Just as the water
in a lake
is cleansed by autumn rains. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Here is an example of why Lord Shiva is called auspicious. If anyone sees Lord Shiva with devotion and reverence, his heart is immediately cleansed. King Daksha was polluted by envy of Lord Shiva, and yet by seeing him with a little love and devotion, his heart immediately became cleansed. In the rainy season, the reservoirs of water become dirty and muddy. But as soon as the autumn rain comes, all the water immediately becomes clear and transparent. Similarly, although Daksha's heart was impure because of his having slandered Lord Shiva, that means blasphemed, for which he was severely punished, Daksha now came to consciousness, and just by seeing Lord Shiva with veneration and respect, he became immediately purified. Okay. Tada vrishad vajadvesha kalilatma prajapatki shivavalokada bhavach charadndrana ivamalaha. Om Ganati Miranda Shah, Gadanjana Shilakaya Chakshur, Unmiditam Yena Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So this reminds me of the offense on chanting Hare Krishna. That, does anyone know which offense I'm referring to? No. No, that's not the way that's. That to instruct the glories of the Lord to the faithless. You understand? The reason I'm referring to that, but also blasphemy is there, you know, that's number one. But the reason I'm referring to that is that previously, Daksha, in his interaction with Lord Shiva, did not become purified. He became, as Prabhupada said, putrefied. Putrefied, it's a very interesting. Putrefied refers to, generally refers to like meat or something like that that's been sitting out for a long period of time and it starts to rot. I mean, actually, practically all meat is like that, except they make it look nice in nice packages in the supermarket and you think it's delicious. But basically, and the fish, you know, you go into a fish, you ever gone to a fish market? Yuck. It smells, doesn't it? youth. And that's putrefied. Someone's saying rots or body rots. That's putrefied. Anyway, so Prabhupada made that comment about putrefaction, referring to sahajas, which we're going to talk about in a second. In other words, by the same action, by the same association, one can either become purified or putrefied, which means he can either come closer to Krishna or go further away from Krishna by the same association. And Prabhupada also gave the example of referring to the spiritual master and the deity of the Lord. He said, it's like the sun, he said. He gave the metaphor. Analogy. A metaphor is the same thing as an analogy, but without like or as. You understand? So those little lesson English for you all. He said, it's like the sun, the association with a pure devotee. Just like if one goes and takes some sunshine, you can get purified by it. It can eliminate different germs, bacteria and things like that, isn't it, sunshine? Because it has ultraviolet light. But if one doesn't take the sunshine properly, because you don't have so much problem here in this, but for those of us who have whiter skin, you can get cancer, melanoma. Does anyone ever have melanoma here? Not so common, right? Not so common. But in America, it's very common. Actually, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, she passed away due to melanoma cancer. Melanoma means that the skin, for those who have a little whiter skin, of course, he has darker skin, but somehow or other, you know, that's why they couldn't believe that he had melanoma cancer, because his skin was darker. And it was exposed to the skin, and then the little growth grows. And actually, where I come from, they say you should examine all parts of your body on a regular basis, even have your friends looking at your back, because they have, if you see anything growing, they have the ABC formula. You heard of this before? You know, anyways, that means it looks weird, you know, it's not completely round, it's black, and it's, you know, rays or something like that, then you can identify it as cancer. So in other words, the sun can give you cancer. Or it can burn you. Just like in India, they say in the summertime, the only people who go outside are what? No one's ever heard this expression. Mad dogs or Englishmen. You ever hear that? Never heard that expression before? What's that?
Not in Fiji.
No, but in India, it's really hot in the summer. I mean, I was staying in Vrindavan, Govardhan, last summer, and it was like 45, 50 degrees out. So after 8 o'clock in the morning, you just can't walk outside anymore. So that same sun, which is so delightful sometimes, becomes a source of pain. And people are dying. Actually, tens of thousands of people die practically every week in India when it's the hot season. So it's the sun. So, and it's interesting. I mean, of course, in America, sometimes people just like sit out in the sun to get their bodies darker. So that's, yeah, it's called tanned. And so that they'll look more beautiful. And then the black people, they get skin whiteners. Like that Michael Jackson. That's why he looks so weird. Because he was trying to make his skin whiter. Anyway, that has nothing to do with class, but just a little joke for you all. So the sun can act in two ways, and Prabhupada compared that to the spiritual master and the deities. He said the deities can purify you, you know, by doing deity worship, but also your Krishna consciousness can be spoiled if you're not up to the right standard, if you commit offenses. And he said the spiritual master is the same thing. Just like we've seen in our Krishna consciousness movement, many, many times people have been head pujaris and they have difficulty in devotional service. We used to call this in America the head pujari disease, HPD. Just like AIDS, you know, AIDS. Anyway, HPD. So because they would think, you know, I'm the controller or something like that of the deities. And then they would think, make a too intimate relationship with the deities. And I remember when there was one Hepajari who actually embraced the deities. I think she even kissed the feet of the deities or something like that. So they have trouble. I've seen that in Vrindavan too. Sometimes there have been head pujaris in Vrindavan, the most exalted. And also, yeah, so, or you can become purified if you maintain your attitude. Just like with the spiritual master, we're chanting every morning, what, Bandhan we Sarvadana Mate. Of course, you have that same word in Hindi, Sarvadan, right? It means cautious. It's like if you go into India and you are driving your car, and you see this line, this sign, Sarvadan. Of course, in India, when they see that, it means go faster. it's a different translation than you have. Well, red light means go through it in India. You understand? Or stay in your lane means go in the other lane. You understand what I mean? The driving, they do the opposite. Caution. Anyway. So, vadanmui sarvadana mate. It's described our relationship with the spiritual master. One has to be very cautious. You know, and Prabhupada said, only an advanced devotee should be the servant of the spiritual master or a pujari, was Prabhupada's comment. Because it could be quite dangerous. Because if you see the spiritual master, see the deity, it's described. If one sees the guru as an ordinary person, if one sees the deity as being made of stone, then he's possessed of hellish intelligence. There's that Sanskrit verse like that. So one has to be very cautious. Or the holy dham. You go to Vrindavan, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should just basically stay 2 weeks in the holy dham. That's fortnight. Because after that, you start to take it as an ordinary place, criticize the residents of the holy dham, and then you commit offenses against the holy dham, and your devotional service is finished. I remember I had one godbrother who, many years ago, before any of you were born, he was like a temple president in Vrindavan. This is when Prabhupada was still on the planet. And then he just got so much into, you know, being his ordinary self in the holy dham that he got a big motorcycle, you know, big motorcycle, one of these big ones, and he started to just like go through the streets, you know, just harassing the residents of the holy dham. Like that. He was the president of ISKCON Vrindavan. Probably none of you would know him. He's a friend of mine. But anyway, and so he had spiritual trouble after that because he didn't interact properly with the residents of the holy dham. I mean, there's many ways you can commit offenses against the holy dham. You've seen the people as ordinary people, seen the place as ordinary place. So you have to really be on your toes, so to speak, all the time. That's savadan, you know, cautious. So it really does depend on how you interact with the holy dham, with the deities, with the personality, that, like Lord Shiva, that determines whether or not you're going to come closer to Krishna or further away from Krishna. That's one thing point I wanted to make. Now, in that regard, I wanted to discuss something called upasampradayas, because this is important for the devotees to understand. Because upasampradaya means, you know, basically a deviation from the sampradaya. What sampradaya, the word sampradaya is very interesting. Sang means together or to bring closer. And the fall prada, apada, you know, said the process that brings you closer, basically. Or we call it the cyclic succession. There's no exact English word that's equivalent to this, you know, the word sampradaya. Do you have in Hindi you have sampradaya? No. No, you don't have an equivalent word. It basically means the cyclic succession that brings you closer to Krishna, following that brings you closer to Krishna. So there's these things called apa sampradaya, I mean things that take you further away from Krishna, that are sometimes confused with actual sampradaya, you know, bona fide sampradaya. And I'd like to mention some of them because they're actually quite interesting, but you actually run into these things, even sometimes within ISKCON, or what to speak of in Bengal, you really run into these things. I mean, Prabhupada was very strong in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very strong against, like, the upasampradaya, you know, sahaja understanding. For example, one time we were in India with Prabhupada, and it was during the Mayapur festival, the Gorpanima festival, and there was this whole group of people who were brought in for a kirtan competition. I might have told the story before. But anyway, there was expert mridanga players. None of you play mridanga like this. Even Saddam doesn't play mridanga that good. So what it is that they could actually make the drum talk. They could go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I mean, they were so expert. Really, I'm not joking about it. I mean, they were so expert. It was just like, wow, the drum is chanting Hare Krishna. And they would dance, you know, throwing the drum up in the air and everything like that. And so they had this kirtan competition, which, you know, devotees made the competition, which is ridiculous. I mean, who can chant better? I mean, we don't, you know, it's all right to play soccer and rugby and, you know, video games if you want. But kirtan competition, you know, the point is devotion, not who has some material expertise. Actually, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had the personalities who chanted the worst lead kirtan. Of course, here in Fiji, he would have no difficulty in finding kirtan leaders. Because I haven't found anyone who chants the best. No, Saddam chants well. But anyway, most people, it makes you really take shelter of Krishna when you hear the off-tune kirtans here. I say, Govinda, Govinda, save me. So in this way, the kirtans are helping me. Especially, I remember there was one festival, Vasudeva and I were talking. It's too loud. I mean, they were playing. Remember that? I forget which festival it was. It was Gaur Purnima, actually. And they were like 200 drums playing. I'm exaggerating. And it was so loud. And it was just like intense. And I was just saying, Krishna. That kirtan really helped me become more Krishna conscious. It helped me realize the material world was miserable. Anyways. So, remember that Vasudev? Remember that kirtan? Last Gaur Purnima was like that. It was so loud. So, anyway, so there was this competition between different kirtan groups. And Prabhupada said, this is nonsense. He stopped it all. He said, you can't treat the holy names like that. You know, some cheap thing like that. So Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur were very adamant against these upper sampradayas. So let me describe the different categories of upper sampradayas. We have a few more minutes for this. This actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur categorized them all, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur categorized them all, and Prabhupada also commented on it. The first category was called the Jati Gosais. Jati means like the family Goswamis. You understand? Family Goswamis. And in India today, you actually see this in Vrindavan. You'll actually go and ask who's in charge of the temple. You know, the temple will say, oh, so-and-so Goswami. And they'll say, oh, sannyasi. It's not a sannyasi. It's a married person. And many of them have actually claimed proprietorship of the temples in Vrindavan. In fact, not only have they claimed proprietorship, but originally many of the Goswami temples in Vrindavan, and we're talking about the six Goswamis and their associates, own quite a bit of Vrindavan. I mean, in other words, the temples own. The reason for that is that the property maintain the deity worship. Then many of the Jati Gosais, they actually sold the deity's property. You know, just like for example, in Lotoka, the temple owns like some property downtown in Lotoka, you understand? Owns an apartment building in the back. And so that money is supposed to be used to maintain the deities. I mean, that's the point. It's no problem with a deity owning property. In fact, in India, they actually have a law that the deity can own property. Isn't that nice? You know, on the property deed, instead of saying, you know, Rupanuga is the owner of this property, it says, she, Radhagokulananda is the owner of the property. That's nice. So, but anyway, the Jati Gosais, sometimes they took their deity property as their own, and they sold it for their own maintenance, for their children or something like that. And nowadays, the temples own very little property, and that's why the temples are actually quite poor. Many of them are quite poor. Except for, of course, the richest temple, Krishna Balaram is the richest temple, but that's because there's bhakti there. But the richest temple besides Krishna Balaram is the Bunki Bihari temple, isn't it? And everybody goes there. That's a newer temple, actually. Even though that's the most popular temple in Vrindavan, it's actually a newer temple. And the Goswami temples, many of the Goswami temples are neglected and disrepair. So, anyway, so the Jati Gosais actually attacked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was taking a pilgrimage group around Vrindavan, and they wanted to kill Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for bringing people who they considered to be born in Malecha families and, you know, lower class families, and giving them sannyas and giving them Brahminical initiation. And there's that whole story, how they came to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the chief of police. He came to him and said, actually, we've been bribed to allow you to be murdered. He said, ordinarily, we have no problems with murder or bribes. This is our business. Just like Prabhupada said, his father used to leave rice out for the rats. Anyway, so he said, but we don't want to kill a saintly person. So that's the Jati Gosais. I mean, they're really against Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And also, Jati Goswami means also the so-called descendants of, like, the Nityananda Vamsa, the descendants of Lord Nityananda, or the descendants of different acharyas in the past. Anyway, so that's one type of sahaja. And they don't bring you closer to Krishna. They take you away from Krishna. The next type is what's called the smartas. That doesn't mean they're smart. The smarta brahmanas. That means because you're born in a Brahmin family. We mentioned this the other day. And they're really into the karma kanja rituals and everything like that. They also, that's like caste Brahmanism. You know, you understand someone by his caste. They also don't help you become closer to Krishna, although they may appear to be very Krishna conscious. The next one is prakriti sahajas. Sahaja means to take very cheaply, easily. Something to come very easily or cheaply. And prakriti, of course, means prakriti material, like this. So those are the people who, just like before they're ready, and that's when Prabhupada gave the quote, putrefied instead of purified, because there was a group of devotees who was reading from Krishna's intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. They call themselves the Gopi Bhava Club. So we have this in ISKCON too. You know, people really get into these intimate pastimes. I've seen this, especially in Europe, not so much here in Fiji. But in Europe, I find people talking about the gopis and all this other stuff. And you know, they're not really advanced in devotional service. They're just like, spend all the time, and they, most of them have not read Bhagavad Gita very well. One time I was giving a class, they asked me to give a class on Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and I said, before I give this class, I'm going to ask you some basic questions. What's in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Or, you know, please help me with this verse, evam parampara praptam. And they said, well, we don't know about that. And I said, I'm not going to talk about Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You guys are not ready for anything except for the Bhagavad Gita. And I'm not even sure about that either. So, you know, these people talk about, oh, Bhagavad Gita, ooh, like that. We want some nectar. So that's prakriti sahaja. Yeah, so that's another type of deviation, apasampradaya. The next one is called the Gauranga Nagaris, which is really interesting. So they understand, as we do, that Lord Chaitanya is God. But they take him as Krishna in the mood of Krishna. They take him as Krishna and enjoying the gopis. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is enjoying with girls. He's like Lampato. Lampato means someone who is not very faithful, you know, someone runs around so many ladies, like a debauchee. That would be the proper word in English, debauchee. So they take Lord Chaitanya like that, not understanding Lord Chaitanya's mood. This is actually Rasabhas. It's not as the enjoyer. His mood is as of the enjoyed. You know, he's taking the mood of Radharani. But they think Lord Chaitanya is the enjoyer, and that's how they read things. Or they may dress up Lord Chaitanya, the deity, as Krishna. Or they may give Lord Chaitanya a flute to hold. Lord Chaitanya doesn't hold a flute, except in the Sadbhuja form, but that's a different thing. But ordinarily, Lord Chaitanya, kamandalu like that. Then kamandalu means water pot and danda and like that. That's, or we worship Lord Chaitanya as a householder, but we don't worship him as the enjoyer. We worship him as in the mood of Srimati Radharani. The next one is very interesting. It's called Sati Beki and the Chudahari. And these are the people who imitate Krishna's Rasa Leela. And Sati Beki, you see them in Vrindavan quite a bit. They're the people, they're the men who you see with the lipstick on. I'm sure you've seen it, haven't you? In a lipstick and sari and everything like that. and the little beard too. Anyway, so now this is like one day, two great days growth. You're wondering, hey, this girl looks beautiful, but the beard really doesn't fit her. No, they don't really look beautiful. They look like ugly women, you know. Really masculine women. So that's Sati Beki. And think that they take the position, they dress up as gopis, and Chudahari, and they dress up as gopis and they can understand Krishna's Rasa Leela, you know. In other words, they think the material body is somehow or other connected with Krishna's Rasa Leela. If you change the shape of the material body, if you think of yourself as a woman, you know, can you imagine that? Like Sumuk? Think of yourself as a woman, you know, comes home one day. Hi, dear. Then you have two women living with you, you know. Isn't it? That would be terrible. You know, with lipstick, Sumuka with lipstick on. Really ugly. Anyway, so that's Sati Beki. And, you know, somehow, or they just imagine in their minds, you know, they have a female form. You know, because they think they're gopis. So that's, anyway, so that also deviates you. The next one is actually Atavadi. Atavadi means that one thinks they're too great. You know, they're little, but they're great. You know, anyway. And that's, this sampradaya, Appa sampradaya, was started by a person named Jagannath Das, who approached Lord Chaitanya with his own interpretation of Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya rejected him. And later on, that Jagannath Das of Orissa, he composed this, composed some literature, and Prabhupada was forced to listen to the inauguration of Jagannath. That's in the Prabhupada Leelamrita if you listen to it, if you read it. So that means, basically, they think themselves very great, or they even up to the point of thinking themselves the enjoyers. But the Vishakshena, the one who was actually chastised by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a member of that sect. You know, the artificial Mahavishnu. You know the story? Mahavishnu. And he had like Brahman Shiva with him. And he was arrested by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's Ativada. Ativadi. And so, in other words, the reason I'm talking about all these things is because we can see certain tendencies in our movement or amongst ourselves for these things. We think we're very great. And ultimately, you think you're God after you think you're great. So, and then the next ones, actually there's four in this particular category. They're syncretic, that's a fancy word, Sufi tantric people who have mixed Krishna consciousness with Sufi tantrism. Syncretic means they're trying to make it all one. You understand? In India, there's actually that tradition in India. Like the Sufis, the Muslims came to India, all right, and they were definitely not syncretic. That is, they definitely didn't try to make it all one. Their idea was anyone who's not one of our followers, oh, no, they didn't have guns. Anyway, whatever, wait, kill them. The only good infidel is a dead infidel, right? You know, that's not syncretic. That's really black or white stuff. So the Sufis, they're syncretic. They try to, the Sufis and also other groups, like the Arya Samaj. You ever heard of the Arya Samaj? In Fiji. What they did, the Arya Samaj is a very syncretic group too. They tried to, the Arya Samaj and also the Brahmo Samaj. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Brahmo Samaj. That started in Bengal, but they're very similar. They tried to mix, you know, make sure there was one, every religion could participate in something. So they did away with the deity worship because that was the main thing that was agitating the Muslims. Did you know that? The main thing that agitates the Muslims and Christians that we do is we worship the deities. The chanting they can bear with. They said, that's all right, they're chanting. But the worship of the deities, you know, it just drives them crazy. That's why you have in Afghanistan, well, the Taliban were in charge of Afghanistan, they destroyed these Buddhist statues. Has anyone ever hear about that? There's these big, big Buddhist statues, and the Taliban just blew them up. It just drives them crazy. So you have these syncretic groups. Anyway, so the Sufis are one of those syncretic groups that try to bring together everybody. You know, everybody join hands, it's a small world, etc., like that. So they have this also tantric aspect to them, many of them. Tantric, we described what tantra means the other day, left-handed tantra, remember? We were talking about the five M's, Maitunya, that is matsya, fish, illicit sex, intoxication, meat, mamsa, like that, and mada, intoxication, the five M's. That's how, if you want to be a tantric, you got to remember, follow the five regulated principles for tantric. So anyway, you should study this. So anyway, so that's the other group of Vaishnava deviants. And their idea, there were four groups under that category, the Auls and the Bowls and the Sannis and the Dharaveshas. And the Auls, they were very much tantric and had weird sex. And the Bowls, they were called the mad people. They would go around like mad, sometimes naked, as minstrels, you know, chanting, not on guitars, but on veenas or something like that, and just, you know, make believe that they were transcendental. They were called madmen. That's, Baal means madman. Baal means madman. Do you have a similar word in Hindi? No. That's a Bengali word. And then Sani means, like Shirdi Sai Baba, he was a Sani. You know Shirdi Sai Baba? They actually have a temple, right? The Shirdi Sai Baba here? Yeah, he was a Sani. And then finally, Dharavesha, that means like a wild, dancing, tantric person. So those are four groups of deviants. And so, anyway, so those were the syncretic Sufi tantrics. They were influenced by Sufism and syncretism. That's a big word. You can use that to impress people if you want later on, syncretism. So, and then the final group of deviants is very interesting because it's called the Kartabaja. And the Kartabajas were very interesting because they have a problem that many of us have too in ISKCON. Their problem is that we have our, let me describe us. We have Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, right? Prabhupada comments of the three, when you're making judgment, Shastra is actually supreme. Shastra is the ultimate standard of judgment. But the Kartabhajas say Guru is the ultimate standard of judgment. And ultimately, like, Guru is more important than Shastra. Guru is more important than Sadhu. So, I mean, just relating that to ISKCON, I mean, somehow or other, after Prabhupada left the planet, many people get into this, you know, the little guru cults. You understand? Like, just like identifying themselves as, and you know, in a dramatic way, as, you know, disciples of so-and-so, whatever. But Prabhupada envisioned that all of us would work together as devotees of Krishna, under the jurisdiction of Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, of course. But not that we would have little guru cults like the Gaudiya Math. The Gaudiya Math actually broke up into things like that. Like they ignored the instruction of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to form a GBC. The actual GBC, governing body commission, is the nomenclature coming from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the way he came up with that name is that he was looking at the Indian railway station and their managing council is called the governing body commission. Did you know that? And that's how he came up with the GBC, governing body commission. So it's an unfortunate thing in ISKCON. Sometimes we have these little guru groups and we have guru groupies. Anyway, I don't know if you know what a groupie is. And so one thing is very important is to see all of ourselves as servants of Prabhupada and servants of Krishna rather than have these little different guru groups. That's why, I mean, for example, in my own life, I have specifically not had any disciple meetings because I just want to see everybody equally. not consider that someone is my disciple, someone is your disciple, because that leads into the fallacy of the Kartabhaja people, where the guru is very most important, and then you forget about Krishna, or guru even becomes God at that particular point. That's what happened. When Prabhupada was on the planet, there was one group of devotees who started to speak about how Prabhupada was God. Did you know that? That's there in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, that story. You should all read the Prabhupada Lilamrita. And then as a result of that, Prabhupada left America and went back to India. He was disgusted with this whole thing. So that's Kartabhaja. So we have to be aware of these deviant, let's say, upasampradaya, so we don't fall into the same into the same problem. And so if we maintain our proper connection, proper attitude relating with this particular verse, then we get purified. But if we don't have the proper attitude, even if we're in contact with Krishna or Lord Shiva, we can get contaminated. Like Prabhupada said, it's a razor's edge. Devotional service is a razor's edge. We have to be very careful. So I think we have to end. You know, somehow or other, the temple time is like 4.5 minutes faster than normal time. Does anyone notice that? Is there a reason for that? What? Oh, they turned the clock, yeah. This is like the opposite of Indian Standard Time. In Indian Standard Time, it's supposed to be 2 hours late. But temple time is 4 minutes early. I guess it's better. It's better than being late, right? Okay, on that note, stop it. I could speak for a whole week on these Sahaja groups because there's a lot of information Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur have given.